play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building, nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2021 Rocket Mortgage Classic, the third rendition of this wonderful event in Detroit, Michigan. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. Fresh off a Harris English W, so yeah. We're all good. We're all good right there.
Did you have him in one and done?
I had been one and done. So it's back-to-back winners, Rahm and English. It's my I think it's my fourth winner of the season, but I have like four miscuts, four winners, and a bunch of like might as well miscut guys. Yeah. So it's been frustrating to say the least. But
that's I just usually get the might as well miscut guys. So and I did again.
Yeah, no, it was fun. English has been trending, and he got it done. We'll see how things keep going this week, as it's a much much lesser field. But it was a fun tournament. If you had to, I kept tweeting it out there because they had the 8-hole playoff with him and Hickok. Like, we finished playing golf and we're in the restaurant there, bar area, having lunch. It was all on, and we're watching it. And English drains the putt on 18. We're like, oh man, this is awesome. He's gonna win. Then Hickok comes and makes the putt. Okay, we're going playoff. Cool. Then it's like the debate: do you want English to get number two, or do you want Hickok to get his first? And I was like, So. It was fun, but eight holes, Jesse, a little bit much.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it. Like, I got home late Sunday evening, and some guys that I text with were texting about it, but I figured it was over by the time I got home, so I didn't even fucking pay attention until they were talking about how it was still going on and how rowdy the crowd was and stuff, and I didn't watch a single second of golf.
The crowd got very rowdy, and both those guys said if it wasn't for them, they probably would have lost a lot sooner because they were just kind of losing steam. But there was one at one point, they were walking on the fairway, I think, of 18, and like the ole ole soccer chants started by the crowd. it was turning into a Happy Gilmore scene. It was pretty wild. Not what I expected from the Northeast, not at all. But yeah, it was fun. English got it done, of course, but I kept tweeting out like after like the third hole and then like the fifth one, I'm like, put them on the drivable par four. Make them make the risk reward shot. Like, let's do something here. Let's make them make a birdie because they're just par. And it's like, no, make them go. Like, let's see this happen.
Yeah. But,
yeah. PGA don't care about that. No. So, yeah, we'll see. But it was fun. It was a lot of the big dogs. You know, Bubba's implosion. I know you didn't watch a lot of golf, but Bubba went full trunk slam on the back nine. I think he went 5 over on 4-hole stretch. It was impressive. Like,
I heard.
Very, very impressive. So, He completely messed up. Bryson Brooks finished well. Kiz did his thing. It was a weird week, but it was a good week. It was one of those that if I didn't, I had three lineups all with English. I had one very, very good lineup that finished well, but the miss, it was a 5 of 6, and the miscut was Ricky Fowler. I said I never played Ricky Fowler. The one lineup I played Ricky Fowler in, I'm like, you got to be effing kidding me.
So. Well, we talked about that last week. You know, is he worth it? This and you know. Yep. Obviously not in hindsight, but you know, it's worth a shot at that price. I agree that with that.
And now he's up to 8,700 this week. So we'll get to talk about that one. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But that'll pretty much wrap us up for the Travelers Championship recap. It was a fun one. Good field. I expect it'll keep kind of staying a similar field like that. It's a good tournament. Awesome golf course. Absolutely awesome. I would love to play TPC River Highlands. That place looked freaking awesome. So yeah, it's going to be a fun one. But let's go to the Rocket Mortgage Classic, third year. In Detroit, Bryson, we'll get to that, but he's the main guy leading the pack on this field of a rather not top. It's not a great field, to say the least, but what do you have for us on the past event history?
Bryson won last year, 23 under, 3 shots over Matt Wolf. The year before that was the inaugural. Nate Lashley, 25 under, 6 shots over Doc Redman.
And that was the year Lashley Monday qualified to get in.
Yep.
So, yeah. Lots of fun there. He could even, I don't even know if that, I think DK at that point still didn't even put him in the field or something weird happened that year. So it was a wild one, to say the least.
I think you're probably right. That was before they were putting in Monday Qs or even considering putting in alternates.
Yeah, I think he wasn't there, and everyone was like, "What?" Yeah, so that was fun. But it is, I guess you said this will be the third year. The Detroit Golf Club is at 7,370 yards, par 72. So it seems long, but it doesn't play that long. It's bent grass greens, a little bit of POA mixed in there for you grass experts, and it's wide open pretty much. It's one of those where Bryson showed up here and he started his bomb and gouge approach on life. And just started crushing it as far as he could. Didn't care if he was in the rough or not. And he just kept wedge festing. And that's why Wolf, like, they just kept wedge festing against each other. The par fives are very gettable in two. So eagles will be there. You mentioned 2,300 and 2,500 were the winning scores, aka it's a birdie fest. Wide fairways. And like I said, the rough isn't even that penal. So it's one of those. If the greens are a little smaller, like a little less than 5,200 square feet. So they're not Pebble Beach small, but they're small. But one of the easiest courses to score on in all the PGA Tour. And you got to take advantage of the par fives, at least birdie those for sure. And just don't make the big number because there's going to be tons and tons of scoring opportunities. And the hot putter is going to win this week, Jesse. Just what we always love. The hot putter is going to win this week.
It'll be a tilt fest. I mean, what's the cut going to be? 5 or 6 under?
I hate these ones. These are the ones I hate. Yeah. I get so mad because your guy shoots like 4 or 5 under. You'd think he's headed to the weekend. And instead, he's heading home, and right. That's a full just like, yep, that's where we're at. So what kind of stats are you looking at?
I mean, birdie or better, you got to weight that highly. Par five scoring is huge this week. Driving distance, I think, matters because, obviously, if you look at the past 2 years, Bryson and Matt Wolf, both of them, hit it real far. So I think that matters. And then – luck box putting, I don't know if you weight that or not. You might. There's a little bit of course history, so you can kind of plug that in. I'm weighting strokes gained off the tee as well.
Yeah, off the tee, I heard a stat earlier, and Dom's in the chat, as always, is a good buddy of the chat and in the Slack chat with us, and he mentioned he believes the last 2 years the cut was -4. So something to keep in mind when you're doing all that good stuff. But, Bombers will have the advantage here. It's not the end-all, be-all, as Webb Simpson always plays well here, but Bombers definitely have the advantage to just go out there and wedge it in, like you said. And I heard a stat, I might have been on Mayo's pod Sunday or something, that the tee to green guys are off the tee, approach off the tee, like the top 15 through the week, the top 14 were like in the top 30 finishing positions. So there's a lot to be said about guys getting off the tee very well and bringing it home. Lastly, before we get into the DK picks, fanshare.sports.com, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS to get a discount over at fanshare.sports.com. Just a couple things to check out. It is a Donald Ross design, so you'll get some guys that are trendy in the Donald Ross, but I didn't pull that up because it's very scattered. Like a lot of guys have like really good one-time event there and stuff. So, but the last 6 events, par 72, 7,200 or 7,400 yards, Bryson, Reed, Sepp Straka's third, Hideki, Matthew Wolf, Nick Taylor, check out the top 5 there. And the last 6 events on bent with POA mixed, Ches Reavy, Charlie Hoffman, Bryson, Sepp Straka, Kisner, Hideki Matsuyama, yet again. So we got a fun one on our hands here, Jesse. Let's just get cracking. Let's get into the DK picks on this one. Leading the way, the defending champion at 11-4, you have Bryson DeChambeau. At 10-9, you got Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson's 10-6, Matsuyama 10-4. So what do you like up in this range?
Start up top, obviously, with Bryson.
And Zalatoris is 10,000, my bad.
Right. Bryson up top, he had a decent showing at the Travelers. It's another one of those weeks. I don't know that I'll play anybody above 10K, but I think Bryson is very, very, just about every week is GPP worthy. He could, shoot 2,500 again and win this week. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. Next in line for me would be Hideki and kind of a tie between Hideki and Zalatoris. Hideki has played here twice, made the cut twice, 21st, 13th in his two starts. And since his win, he's played okay. If he can just make some putts, should be fine. Same with Zalatoris. He's coming off a missed cut at the U.S. Open. Kind of surprising. I think he has hit a wall where he was playing every single fucking week and has not played as much over the last month as he has, obviously, as he was. So I like going back to Zalatoris there at 10,000. Is it a Patrick Reed week?
Not at 10-9 is not a Patrick Reed week. I can't do it. He finished fifth in 2019, missed the cut last year. I'm just going to pass on that one. I think he makes the cut and probably T25s it, but at 10-9, you need better than that. So I'm going to pass on Patrick Reed on this one. But Bryson's obviously a great play. Not going to deny that one, but I'm focusing on Hideki at 10-4. Like you said, 2-for-2 made cuts. He's playing well. If you're looking for guys that can run hot with the putter, we know his ball striking will be great. So if he can get that putter going, no reason he can't take this one down. Zalatoris I like a lot. I'm curious to see his ownership, and I'm with you there. He's coming in some rough form, but I'm with you. He hit the wall also. So look for a bounce back. It's kind of like a web.com or a Corn Ferry event, folks. And Willie Z did just fine in this short time on the Corn Ferry. But the other guy I'm kind of curious of is Webb Simpson. Eighth place last year, coming in horrible form. But that makes for a very intriguing tournament play for me because no one's going to own him. Like Bryson's going to be popular. I think Willie Z could be very popular. I've heard Hideki's name mentioned a lot already. I think you get a very low-owned Webb Simpson, which will be really, really interesting. So we'll see. We'll see how that one goes as the week goes on. Because I've been basically reserving my lineups, and I build them late Wednesday when I look at ownership, and that's kind of been the recipe of late. It's worked the last few weeks. We're going to keep going that direction and see how things go. Just don't take Ricky Fowler. 9K range. We got Neiman at 98, Kokrak at 95, Sungjae 93, Watson 92, Wolf 91, and Bradley, Keegan Bradley, off the missed cut at 9,000. There's one guy I really, really like here, but what are you liking in this range?
Is it Kokrak?
It is Kokrak.
Yeah, yeah, I love Kokrak too. But you know, we're not going to be alone in that. I don't feel like he won the Charles Schwab, then missed the cut at the U.S. Open. He's never played here, or actually did play here in 2019. Finished 29th. He's been a better putter as of late, so I like him as well. Neiman at 98, I think, is very, very playable. Finished fifth here in 2019. Made a couple cuts in a row, you know, inside the top 40 for both of them. So I think he's fine. And the rest of it, man, you know, I just don't know if I can play any of these guys. I think, you know, Sungjae might be fine at 93. Matt Wolf, you know, I know he finished second, but he also missed the cut the year before that and is coming off a missed cut at the Travelers. He had a good showing at the U.S. Open. I don't know where his game's at. Keegan at 9K. I don't want to play Keegan at 9K. So he probably will be low owned, but I'm not going to play him.
Yeah, not happening for me either. Like Neiman, yes, Neiman could definitely. I could have seen Neiman be like 10-1 this week. I wouldn't have been surprised. So at 98 in this field, I can see Neiman, but I love Kokrak. The dude is long off the tee. The iron play, like the approach, is one of the better ones in golf right now. It's just, like you said, can he putt? And lately he has been putting well. So I think Kokrak is a really, really strong play at $9,500. And Wolf, I'm curious. If he's low owned, I'm going to definitely have some because his form's a mess outside of the U.S. Open, as you mentioned. So it might kind of deter people off of Matthew Wolf. But if we can get a low owned Matthew Wolf that can use the same approach he used last year, the same approach he used at the U.S. Open, just bomb it away and then wedge it in at $9,100, I like my chances to – just have some fun this week with Matthew Wolf. So we'll see how that one goes. 8K range. You got Jason Day at 89, Hoffman at 88, Fowler 87, Woodland 86, Kisner 85, Homa 84, Higo 83, Griot 82, Tringali 81, and Siwoo Kim and Phil Mickelson at 8,000. Now it's getting fun, Jesse. What do you like in this
range? Start off with Jason Day, man. I mean, I think he's GPP worthy this week after the top 10. At the Travelers, you know, he was leading for a little while, obviously fell off a little bit on the weekend, shot 62 on Friday. That to me is a good sign that he's figuring some shit out. So I know he missed the cut here last year, but I do like Jason Day at 89. Charlie Hoffman, I feel like he's just solid. He did miss the cut here and he's only starting in 2019, but he hasn't missed a cut still since the Phoenix Open back in February, just making cuts. He started really poorly at the Travelers. Shot 63 on Friday to make the cut. Didn't have a great weekend. But, again, another top 30 for him. Higo at 83. I think he's very much playable. I know he's missed the last two cuts in a row, but, you know, after his win or whatever, I would take a chance on him. Griot is another guy. You know, I hate playing Griot, but from the stats, like, perspective, he fits. You know, he's really good tee to green. Finished 39th here in his only start last year, has two straight missed cuts, and he's 8,200. This is going to be a week.
What if I told you it just gets better when we go down farther?
I know.
But yeah, Hoffman 88, he's probably going to be very, very popular just because of his form coming in, but it's hard to pass up on this kind of, like, in a field where we're going to have to take some definite gambles. There's no avoiding that. Taking this one guy, you know, is going to most likely make the cut, most likely top 25 here for you with the potential to top 10 or go better. Like, you just kind of have to eat some of that with Charlie Hoffman. And it felt ugly on Thursday, but like you said, he shot the 63 on Friday and kind of played well throughout the weekend. So Hoffman 88 is very, very strong. I think Kevin Kisner at 85 is interesting. Two made cuts here, including a third last year. He's made back-to-back made cuts. Three out of the four he's made cuts in his last time teaming up with the fifth at the Travelers. He had a great Friday and a great Sunday. Thursdays and Saturday, not so much, but Friday and Sunday, he torched that golf course. So I'm intrigued by Kisner. Again, it's a longer course, but if you stay in the fairway, you get a lot of rollout here. I think he'll be okay. So he's interesting at 85. I think Cam Tringali, two made cuts here, 30th and a fifth. Missed cut at the Travelers, but a 26th at Memorial, 32 at Charles Schwab. Again, he's been wary off the tee of late, but it's not as penal here. So I think Tringali at 81 with that course history or event history can be quite interesting as well. I think Higo will be popular. The one I want to ask you about, though, Max Homa is $8,400. He's coming in pretty bad form, back-to-back missed cuts after a six at the Memorial, but then some missed cuts prior to that. He's been kind of wonky right now, but we know he's like a top 25 or 30 player in the world, and he's $8,400. Like, if it's any course where he can use his distance to his advantage and not be penal for it, this seems intriguing to me.
Yeah, I could see that. For sure. Like, but you know, if you look at,
he's been a mess. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really his iron game, I think, more than anything else. I mean, he's just only hit, I mean, he's just not hitting very many greens, and that's the problem. Worth a shot, though. I mean, I would say that for sure. I think, you know, in the realm of guys he's around here, he's a little underpriced. So I could see why, you know, that would be intriguing to play him.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the GPP angle because I think a lot of people will look at his form and be like, nope, don't want to.
Yeah.
It's the dude that's won, like, what, 3 months ago at Riviera, for crying out loud. So the dude's talented. It's just a matter of where's he at. So I'm intrigued to say that. That's all I'm going to say. I'm intrigued at the price point. And it's like, I'd rather play him at 84 than Ricky Fowler at 87. So we got that going for us. And it's another week where Ricky Fowler's got sponsorship obligations. We know how that goes for Ricky more often than not. Farmers doesn't work out well. We got Rocket Mortgage this time, so we'll see how that plays out. 79 to 75, got Brendan Todd, Doc Redman, Lucas Glover, HV3, McNeely, Straka, Sneds, Norin, Stanley, Reavy, Hickok, Lanto, Flatbill, Ryan Armour, Adam Hadwin. As you can tell, everyone's playing in the 7 and 6K ranges this week. So what do you like in this grouping?
Start off top with Doc at 7,900. I don't think I'll be alone in this, but I think he's a pretty good play at that. You know, 21st last year, second the year before that at this tournament, coming off the 61st last week. Didn't have a good weekend at all, but was second at the Palmetto, so he's played well as of late. I think Brendan Todd is very interesting as a pivot off of him at the same price. Most people will not play Brendan Todd. They'll play Doc, and Doc will be much more highly touted. But if Brendan can get the putter going, and he has a propensity to do that, coming off the 30th place finish at the Travelers, he did play here last year, finished 57th. So I like him as a pivot off of a chalky, what I suspect will be a chalky Doc. Maverick McNeely at 77, eighth here last year. Two straight made cuts for him, 30th and 20th in his last two starts. Kyle Stanley, man. I mean, like, he's been making a lot of cuts. He did finish eighth at Charles Schwab 3 weeks ago, or a month ago now, I guess. But, like, he's just not. He doesn't have great finishes. You don't really need that necessarily in this range. He did miss the cut here last year, 21st the year before that. And then Lanto at 75, 21st here last year. Has two straight made cuts. He's kind of been, it's not been as good of a year for him this year as it was last year, but seems like maybe he's figuring some shit out there. So he made the cut at the U.S. Open, made the cut last week, finished almost dead last, but either way, you know, I like Lanto at that price, 7,500, given the guys around him.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you. I think Doc will be very popular, as you mentioned, but coming in great form. Great course history. He's very intriguing at $7,900. A couple other ones. Matt McNeely has played very well here in his two trips to Detroit, to coming off a nice finish in his recent outings. A guy that excels at his tee to green game, especially his approach game. So the smaller greens might not affect Matt McNeely as much. Seb Straka, you know, we just talked about in Fanshare how much he checks the boxes. I already liked him this week. He's coming in with two great finishes here before. He's got one of the better approach games in all of golf. And usually his biggest bugaboo is getting off the tee. Well, now that's not an issue. That's probably why he's played well here. I think Sepp at 77 is a very, very good play. So I like him quite a bit this week. A few other ones to take a look at. I do like Lanto, as you said. Again, kind of in the vein of the Max Homa. He's coming in kind of wonky form. He's playing better currently than Max Homa. I'll give him that. But another guy that can just go deep off the tee and bring it in from there. So I think Lanto at 75, I like. You have Ryan Armour, who's played very, very well at this golf course at $7,500. I think he might be a little more popular, though, so you could pivot to a Griffin or someone else. And then that will do it for me. Actually, I was going to keep going, but that'll do it in the 7,500 range for me.
What about Kramer Hickok?
I'm not going to. I'll let everybody else go and get them some Kramer Hickok this week. He's going to be so popular, I think, after last week. The kid's good. He can pipe it, so there's no denying it, but there's got to be some letdown, isn't there?
I would think.
Yeah. But, hey, you never know. Like I said earlier, I was kind of pulling for the kid, but then I had my own personal Harris English interest, so it's kind of – I was torn. But what do you like of the 7K to $7,400 range?
Start up top there with Danny Willett, finished fourth here last year. Has three straight made cuts to his credit. Seems like he's playing a little bit better this year. 26th at the Memorial, 64th PGA Championship, 11th at the British Masters. Luke List, if he can putt, he should be fine. 21st here last year, miscut the year before that. Three straight miscuts for him on tour. Hank Lebiota, two straight miscuts for him at this golf course, but he's made five in a row on tour. So I think he's got some potential there at 72. Bo Hostler at 7. It's like we lost Bubba there. Bo Hostler at 7K. Two straight miscuts for him and at this golf course. But he's got two straight top 20s in his last two starts. 19th at Palmetto, 10th place last week at the Travelers. And it seems like to me at 7K, he's a bit of a steal there, just coming off those two top 20s. It'll be a rough week again. So
yeah, it's going to be a rough one. It goes back to, this is where you can just play ownership if you want, because you're literally throwing it at guys that are all in weird ways trying to probably have equal chances to win. Like Danny Willett, I heard you talk about him. I like him a lot at 74. Yeah. You know, he's only missed some time because he had an appendicitis or like appendectomy or whatever. But he was playing really, really good golf beforehand. He's played well here. So I like Willett. I think Mark Hubbard coming in really good form, finished very well last week at the Travelers. And if we're talking about a birdie event, he can make birdies in bunches. So I think Hubs is interesting at 73. I like the Lebiota call. Tom Lewis, we ride him for a while. He burned us, but then we stopped riding him. He's playing well again. Finished well here, I believe, last year at 72. Then guys like Troy Merritt, Bryce Garnett, and Brian Stewart have all made multiple cuts here. Like, if you're looking for course history guys, they've made multiple cuts and coming in decent form. So if you're looking for 7K guys, they're in play at least. Who you like in the 6K range?
I will start up top at 69 Kevin Chappell, $6,900. Now I can't get Fantasy Labs to work.
All these websites are having fun right now all of a sudden.
I don't know what just happened, but let me get it pulled back up here. Apologize about that.
Well, guys, I'm looking at Richie Wierwinski at 6,900. It's a guy I always like in kind of crummier events like this, and we know he's got the birdie upside to birdie in bunches. This could be a Rogers week coming in. He's played well here, a couple made cuts in a row on tour. So Patrick Rogers is in play. Norlander. I think Cam Champ for his distance and only 6,700 is quite intriguing. If you want to roll those, he's made both cuts in Detroit, but you know, the current form is kind of shaky. Speaking of shanky, Adam Shank at 6,500. He's made two cuts here. JB Holmes is coming in good form, which is scary. He's only 65. And the last guy I'll mention, he's two cuts here and coming in actually good form, is Chris Baker at $6,300. So it's a crappy event. So there's a lot of 6K guys that are probably going to outproduce most 7K guys. So if you want to take your chances, take your chances. But they don't make you feel warm and fuzzy, to say the least. So what do you like? So what do you like in the 60K range?
Kevin Chappell finished 62nd here last year. Two straight make cuts for him at $6,900. I hope he's getting it figured out. He's much better than a $6,900 golfer in this field, especially. Bo Hoag, he did miss the cut here last year, coming off a missed cut, WD. For some reason, my model just likes him. Bramlett at 67 will be another guy that I would look at. Curtis Thompson at 65. I don't know, for some reason, the model also likes him. So that take that for what it's worth. Man, there's plenty of guys down low that, you know, you would think would have a chance. Like Nick Watney finished 46th there last year, but has not made a cut. When's the last time fucking Nick Watney made a cut?
He's playing horrific golf right now. Jesus. He's going to probably lose his tour card pretty soon.
I mean, he hasn't made a cut since the Safeway Open back in September. I would maybe steer clear from that. Ryan Brim, who I've mentioned in the past, you know, if he can get it figured out too, he's missed a shit ton of cuts in a row. God, man, it's rough. It's rough treading down at the bottom of the 6K. So best of luck if you're down there.
Yep. Place where, and as Dom Walton said, he's a Patrick Rogers supporter here. He lost 7 strokes putting last week. Traditionally a good putter. His tee to green was top 10 in the field at the Travelers. So remember, we're looking for a guy to run out with a putter. So
yeah,
Dom's always sure. got the stats. He's got them all.
Roger's another guy to target for first round later, too.
Probably. Yeah, because when he runs hot, he runs real hot. Him, Sepp Straka is another guy that can run hot and around. But yeah, Dom, he's been winning bets. He's been doing well in the mini-max. He's always in the Slack chat dropping knowledge. So if you want to join us in there, I highly recommend it. He's a very, very savvy PGA guy. Let's recap things real quick, Jesse. 10K and above, who's your top choice?
Shit, I was ready to move on to the damn betting side of it. I'll say Bryson is the top choice. I mean, you know, for what it's worth, six at that top price, you know, but that's the guy that I would most definitely play if I'm above 10K.
I think my guy would be Hideki Matsuyama, but we'll see how that goes. 9K range, we're both on Kokrak.
Yep.
Yep. 8K range, who's your guy?
Jason Day.
Interesting. Interesting. I'll go Hoffman's soon to be too. Really chalky, so I'll go Cam Tringali to be a little different. 75 to 79, who's your one?
I'm gonna be just to be a little bit different, I'm gonna say Brendan Todd.
I'm gonna go Sepp Straka. 7k to 74.
Bo Hostler.
That's interesting. I'm gonna go with Mr. Hubbard will be the one, but I like Will it a lot. I think a lot of the low 7k guys are gonna be fun. And then if you have to pick one 6k guy, where are you going?
Chappell.
I'll probably go with Patrick Rogers. That'll be my dude. If you're building a cash game lineup, where are you starting?
I'm starting by donating my money to a charity.
Yes.
I would,
rough week for cash.
Yeah, it is. I think Hoffman is cash viable. I would put Stanley in that category as well. And then, if you can afford somebody like Kokrak, I would probably try to get there, but
yeah, I'd say like Hoffman, Redmond, Armour, maybe. It's ugly, but GPP is ugly. Cash means GPP for days. So, what are three guys you start your GPP lineup out with?
Bryson, Bo Hostler, and then I would throw in somebody like Higo.
I'll go Kokrak, give me Max Homa, and give me Lonto Griffin. Have some fun. Let's get wild.
I can dig that.
Yeah. Just give me these bombers. Let's see who can run hot. Like that's what we're going with this week. Just imagine there's what, 5 guys over 10K. If you combine the 9K guys, let's say there's 12 guys. I'm being lazy. 12 guys. Imagine if like 10 of them missed the cut. Pure chaos is going to ensue in Detroit. No one's going to watch TV on Saturday and Sunday. But yeah. For DK wise, like 4 or 6 lineups are going to have some life. It's going to be very, very exciting. So we'll see. We have 2 weeks before one of my favorite majors. Like the Masters is great, but I love the British Open. And we did not get one last year. So I'm very excited about this. So we got that going for us. I told you, and you agreed. So it's not like facts, but we said this would be a quick one because it is the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And next week, is one that's near and dear to Jesse's heart. No, his is the Barber's Law. It's 2 weeks. Yours is 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's the same week as the Open.
As the Open, yeah. You don't get the proper respect it deserves. You get kind of overshadowed. It's not fair. But we got the John Deere next week. Everyone calls it the fifth major, all the bad jokes there. So we'll have fun with that. Another loaded field, folks. Everyone trying to qualify for the Open one last time. So that'll be fun. That's the private charter just set up to take him overseas. But for now, good luck this week. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. Again, join us in the Slack chat if you have some more questions, as we'll be breaking stuff down throughout the week there. More and more guys are playing it. Guys join the Slack chat for like football and baseball and stuff. And now they're all playing golf every week. So it's hilarious. They love it. Like, I didn't know about this 2 to 4 day sweat. This is amazing. So like they're all loving it now. So come join us in there. But other than that, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2021 Rocket Mortgage Classic. See you guys later. The show goes on all night till the morning we dream.